똥간이랍니다. 뭐 똥간이랍니다. 똥간이랍니다. 오케이. It's very much related to what we talked, the goalless, or the not to be attached to the result. The next. 삼아 똥간이랍니다. How do you translate that one? Appetite, is it? Wanting to eat something? Appetite?
Yeah.
Appetite. The follower of the Shakyamuni Buddha must learn to create appetite for emptiness. Appetite for the emptiness. Chandrakirti talks about this in his Madhyamika Avatara. You know, sometimes you see people, many times actually we see people when we talk about God, Savior, Prophet, their work, their life, then they have tears in their eyes, they get goosebumps in their body, they feel very different, you know, sort of. Also, of course, among the Buddhists, when we hear about Milarepa, Paltu Rinpoche, Sakyapandita, I don't know, Tsongkhapa, Guru Rinpoche, they have this kind of feeling, especially when you hear their stories. But no one does that when they hear emptiness. You know, like that kind of appetite we have to learn to, at least learn to have that appetite. Learn to have the appetite. Can one do that? I guess so. Learn to the best books to help you to have that appetite is Bodhicharya Avatara. Mulla Madhyamika. Things like that. Relief, it is a relief. You know, when you hear the word of emptiness, shunyata, it's a sound of relief. It's a sound of relief from all kinds of extremes. It should actually invoke tears in your eyes. It should make you feel, make you what? Have goosebumps. Sound of emptiness. The words, emptiness. It's the greatest liberator. Much more than the deeds and the lives and the characters of the masters, actually. But I can understand masters of the past. They personify the emptiness, I guess. But a student must learn to have appetite. I'd like to extend this a little bit because these I have extracted from the works of Jamgon Kontul, Padre Rinpoche and all that. Just some important points. There's a lot of theistic approach from the student to the teacher, I have noticed. It is one of the biggest network of maybe delusion, most likely delusion, hopefully good devotion. I cannot really judge, as I've been telling you. But lack of appetite for the emptiness. And the theistic approach to the teacher. Certainly gives teachers like myself, who has no understanding of emptiness. Remember we were talking about the quality of teachers, which means who has so much fear, so much nervousness. Is definitely all this kind of, you know, theistic approach is definitely giving people like me all kinds of aches. All kinds. People come one day in the morning and they sort of act slightly different. And then I ask, what's wrong? This devotee says, oh, you must know. You know. Well, that's already quite good. Sometimes they don't even say that. They sort of, I can read the, you know, just not out of omniscience, just out of sheer experience, I can read their mind. They are saying like, why is he even asking? You understand? And here I am. What have I done? Of course, my paranoia is killing me. What have I done? Did I make a mistake? Did I say something wrong? Did I pay too much attention to someone else? Did I ignore him or her? And so many funny things has happened, actually. And this is all me, okay, my paranoia. And many times, actually, she is acting slightly different, she or he is acting slightly different for... because that particular morning, he had some kind of an experience, a good experience actually, happened apparently, good experience connected to, like, in, of course, in all, you know, connected to, like, me being able to fix a certain problem. If only I knew this, then I would not have to go through all this paranoia. But I don't know this. So I interpret this as the devotee acting strange. And sometimes also otherwise. So much, all this theistic approach. And, God, it's endless. Do we have time? And then, some lamas, if they get sick, physically, sort of, I've noticed also the students, especially those who have been other religion, like Christians, or a continuous follower of Mr. Freud, then they have a very strange theistic approach. It's like this actually came much later. Actually, I've noticed this. I don't know. He is going through this all for us, that kind of mentality. Very, very dangerous. And of course this Vajrayana threat of, oh, you know, if you break samayas, you know, lamas will happen this, his, testicles will fall, all of this. Of course that doesn't help. Makes the students go crazy, paranoid. Do you recall? Yeah, you know, things that happening. So much theistic approach. What's the opposite of appetite? Satiation. Sort of. Not hungry. Completely. What? Revulsion? Stuff? Satiation. Satiation. Yeah, something like that. I think maybe revulsion towards the emptiness. And it's a very stupid revulsion because if it is from a certain experience of having had that food before, and then you have revulsions later, much better. But you don't even have any experience with emptiness. Yet you have this kind of no longing, no appetite for emptiness. Creates a lot of theistic approach to the Buddha Dharma. This has been a bit of like a, telling you, it's a therapy kind of session, isn't it? So, there's a lot of these problems. Theistic approach. And that's very confused and very complicated. Would you really want to have a Lama who knows everything? I will not like to have that kind of Lama myself. What? Yeah, but many times I forgot that he is like that. And that was so good that I forgot. It's so frightening. And you know where this fright comes from? Theistic approach. Theistic. Punishment. Rejection. Enlightenment, the aim of enlightenment is completely gone out of the window.
Aren't we supposed to be...
Do you want mic?
Aren't we supposed to be viewing the teacher as the Buddha?
Yes, yes, definitely.
So I'm getting confused because what you're saying is theistic. Sounds like viewing the teacher as the Buddha. I mean, why shouldn't? I mean, maybe if some student went to you and you said what's wrong and they said you should know. I mean, maybe they should have answered your question directly. But why they view you as a Buddha, as the teacher as a Buddha? That sounds good.
That's okay, that's Buddha, but...
Buddha's not theistic, Buddha's not a deity.
Right. And also, you see, I'm thinking more in terms of punishment, fear of punishment. You should read Paltu Rinpoche's Words of My Perfect Teacher. I'm sure you have read this one line saying, Sangdal Tsechik Sanje Nyandal Korwa Thachan. If you have a good connection with a guru, guaranteed enlightenment for life, this life. If you have a bad connection with you, guaranteed end of samsara. Those two guaranteed.
That's good then, yeah?
Yes, that's not a theistic approach. Though, that's not a theistic approach.
But I don't understand the difference between seeing the teacher as omniscient, which is, I mean, is there a Buddha there omniscient? And
omniscient from the Buddhist point of view is not really a theistic approach, I don't think so. Our way to the theistic approach is we choose a lot too. If he is omniscient, why didn't he tell me? That is already a choosing. Because you have to... Yeah, that's actually the next one. The next quality of the student should be ability to interpret. You see, that ability doesn't exist when you have lack of appetite for the emptiness because you are theistically approaching. And okay, if he is omniscient, why didn't he tell me? But someone, on a correct manner, is almost like, he is omniscient, that's why maybe he didn't tell me. Could be like that too. But people don't think like that because of theistic approach.
Also, so what's the difference between a good connection with the guru and a bad connection?
Oh, bad connection like disobeying, not doing everything completely opposite, everything. And if he's a good guru, guaranteed end of the samsara. I didn't say this, Padre Rinpoche said this. Guaranteed. In fact, in Tibet, during the Padre Rinpoche's time, nomads had nothing to offer. They would go to the Lama's room and break things, I heard. Like break shrines and, you know, like that. Saying that through this I'm creating connection with this master who will, out of compassion, pray for me anyway. This is not only Vajrayana, this is actually within the, even in the Sharvakayana they have. Whenever, you know, like when you go to Thailand, when you receive, when you offer monks the arm, they recite something, and that actually has that prayer, Kangidala Shavar Chepata, Kangidala Khazay Chepata, Kangidala Kurti Chepata, Rumdra Chepata. You know, those who gives me food, those who gives me veneration, those who pay me homage, may they all be enlightened. May they all get connected to the Dharma. Those who beat me, those who slanders me, those who criticize me, may they also have, you know, such and such. What?
Does the end of samsara happen after Vajrahel?
Could be. That's a good question.
And if not, isn't that some kind of social control?
What do you mean? What do you mean by social control?
Well, it sounds like a good or bad connection to the guru, samsara will end and enlightenment will happen. And yet that's not what people are told.
Yeah, it's written in Padre Rinpoche, in the words of my Padre teacher.
I mean, talking about the grave faults of disobeying even one.
Yeah, yeah. That's just because we all want to achieve enlightenment within this life. Or at least next life or something like that.
And also
guaranteed enlightenment doesn't mean that it will happen in next, you know, like 20 lifetimes. It just means guaranteed enlightenment.
I just wanted to ask about etiquette in terms of serving the guru and behavior around the guru. What you were saying before about emptiness, perceiving emptiness, do you mean that that the same etiquette and your behaviour applies, but just that your attitude is that you have the emptiness of your actions in mind as well?
I'm not hearing you properly. Can you just mic like this?
Sorry. Seeing how to put it better. I'm thinking in terms of the theistic approach. And the difference between that and, say, serving the Lama in such a way that you might serve him in a theistic kind of way, is the difference that you still serve the same way with the same action, but that your view is that your actions are also empty.
Yes, well, okay, make it easy. Aim for enlightenment, remember? We were talking about aim, the final aim is the enlightenment. Especially if you are Mahayana practitioners, not only for yourself but for the others. For that, you do whatever is necessary. Everything becomes practice. Sweeping floor is equal to doing maybe 50 prostrations. Arranging a flower equal to maybe 100 mandala offering with aim and everything. This is quite important because, again, another thing that we do not, because of lack of understanding of these things, we seem to differentiate these things. Okay, I have to I have my job and all that, and then I go back to a center, Dhamma center. I have to look after the Dhamma centers, you know, like administration work. I barely have time to practice. I hear this from people. Lack of understanding of these things. If you aim for the enlightenment for yourself and others, no need to chant, no need to pray, go back, sweep the floor of the temple, the Dhamma center, or I don't know, type letters, all of this is counted. Not only the Vajrayana, Mahayana, all this, most of, basically the Buddhist practice is based on motivation, not in the action. Theistic approach, okay, let me explain to you this. I have asked some of the so-called my students in different parts of the world to go and receive teachings from such and such teachers. And they feel very sad, rejected, depressed for a long time, I have noticed. Lack of understanding of this information again. In fact, actually the teachers that I've recommended them are really good ones, first of all. So they shouldn't have worried. Even if I send them to someone, if they're really serious with the Vajrayana practice, if they go because I have asked, let's say I'm their Vajra master, and then I told them, go and receive teaching from David Long, is it? Whoever.
Very long.
Yeah. You should do it diligently, 100,000 times. Because you are practicing Vajra command, the practice of Vajra command, they call it. Do it. Every step you are going towards very long, is it? 100,000 merit you are accumulating. Because the motivation here is to achieve enlightenment. Motivation here is nothing to do with sticking with one person. Vice versa. If the teacher says, don't go anywhere, don't listen to anyone, don't read any books, stick with what I say, you just have to say that. You just have to do that. If that happened to be your only and one teacher. Now, if you have many teachers, little bit of confusion here, little bit of difficulties, but manageable. I think I have altogether, I have received teachings, if I count all the teachers that I have received teachings from, I think there's about 30. I try to listen to all of them. Sometimes when things are becoming a little chaotic, I try to manipulate. Try to have good intention and manipulate. That's the only way I found. Because some of my teachers used to be anyway, they're not alive anymore. You know, one of my teachers never, Driptop Rinpoche, his name is Steve, never took off his shoes, sleeping with his shoes for many, many years. So smelly. Yeah. Things like that. So, I guess I have managed to tell you this theistic thing. It's quite important. I know, there's a difficulty here. Should we, as Star was making a good comment, should we think him in terms of an omniscient being? Yes, definitely. But that shouldn't be used later for as an excuse or as a blame, as a tool to blame. Because that, if you have done that, then you didn't accept him as omniscient being. This is what I mean by choosing. If you choose, then you choose all the way. You don't choose it when it's convenient to you. When it is not convenient, you suddenly omniscient being, you cannot sort of ignore. After all, the Guru, remember, Guru comes in the package of the teaching. Guru is the path. That's how we have to think more in terms of Guru as a path, not only as a being to whom we follow. Omniscient. And then, exclusively for the Vajrayana, pure perception. That's a difficult one. Really difficult.
I just ask, it seems like both the pointless depression and endless depression lead to each other?
Sometimes, yes.
They keep swinging in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
If you become too open, then you become very close. And
yes.
Would you please say something about that?
About what?
Maybe when you're in the process of swinging between the two.
You have said it. That's it. Nothing much to say about that.